Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus on this Pentecost Sunday, and I pray that by our worship, we might all know the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit among us. I extend a particular welcome this day to those of you who might be worshiping with us by our live streamed or our recorded worship. We know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, though distance and time may be separating us, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements for you this morning. We're going to thank our worship leaders for sharing their many gifts this day to make this worship possible. And so I extend a particular thank you to Rick Ripley and to Wayne Zaretter and Sarah Lynn Keller, to Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, and also a special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick who make this worship possible technically. We have a time during our worship service of lighting a candle together that happens immediately following the time of the announcements. And so I invite you to have a candle if you don't already have one and to prepare to light that with us as I light the Christ candle. However, we're going to take a moment now and light a special candle because today our brother Bill Ladd takes up ministry as bridge pastor of the First Congregational Church of Templeton, Massachusetts. He'll be with them over the next 6 months as bridge pastor. We've walked with Bill along his road toward ordination, and this day marks a significant step along his ordination path. And so we light this candle now, acknowledging the spirit that binds us together and the significance of this day for him, so he may know our true love and support of him continues. So may the Spirit be with our brother Bill this day and with the congregation with whom he will be serving over the next 6 months. And thank you, Sarah Lynn. Returning to our worship this day, we're going to lift up prayer celebrations and concerns later on in our worship. And so we invite you to let us know about those things that you would like us to incorporate into our worship prayer later on in this service. You can send your prayer concerns or celebrations to prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers at firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our prayer together this day. We have a time, as usual, of post-worship fellowship following our worship service via Zoom video conferencing. We hope that you will take advantage of this time of being together in fellowship. We do, however, want you to know that this is, we're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated post-worship fellowship time, essentially from 11:30-ish or just following the worship service till noon. And Sarah Lynn's going to tell us a little bit more about what we're doing at noon, but I'll just remind us that there is a link to this post-worship fellowship time that can be found on the church's website, in the church's weekly emailings that come out on Friday and on Sundays. And you can also find them information in the bulletin. So we look forward to seeing you for post-worship fellowship. Sarah Lynn, I know you have some other things you want us to know about.
All right, yes, and immediately following that post-worship fellowship at noon, we will continue our conversation and with an information session about the a possible capital campaign that the church is considering. And so today's conversation will continue where we left off with the last conversation that we had last week, with more detailed information about a possible chancel redesign and kitchen, also renovation. There will be ample time for question and answer and conversation about how these projects fit into our church's values and core commitments. And these are important conversations because coming up soon in a month, or well, even less than a month, on June 13th, we hope to have a vote of the congregation about this capital campaign. So we want people to be informed and ready and have been part of that process and conversation leading up to that congregational vote. So please join us today following our post-worship fellowship. And this week, we hope that you have received an email in your inbox with a survey that we would love to have you respond to and send it back. It's an online survey. Some of you may have received it by mail if we know that you aren't using email right now. And if you have not received either one of those, please be in touch with the office. We want to hear your thoughts and your input about this important question of how and when we might return to in-person worship. And so it's an important issue for our congregation, and we want you to be a part of that plan. So please let us know if you have had difficulty in receiving that survey or in filling it out. And we would be happy to help you with that. And also, this week, we are switching pub theology to porch theology. And we hope that you will join us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. In the McDonough's backyard. And for a lively discussion accompanied by snacks and brews. And brews and snacks will be provided for you. Although if you don't like beer, you can feel free to bring your own beverage. And we hope to have you come and join us. But please RSVP to me, Sarah Lynn, so we can plan the food and beverages for everyone. And that's at sarahlynn@firstchurchnatick.org or my cell phone you can see on the screen right there. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. We come to a time now of demonstrating that we are indeed the body of Christ. And one of the ways is by affirming the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we do that now as we light our candles together, remembering that by these flames of spirit, that by the power of the spirit, we are one in Christ, no matter how distance or time may dividing us. So I invite you now to light with me your candle, as I light the Christ candle. And now let us continue our time of worship this day as we turn now to a responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Mighty wind of God, blow through us.
Stir us to praise, lift us from despair.
Holy fire of God, enliven our spirits.
Heat up our compassion, burn away our fear.
Mighty wind and holy fire, revive us again.
That we may live as the body of Christ.
Up and about God's mission in the world.
United in our one calling as agents of God's love.
Give the church a stronger vision. cloud my day. Come, O Spirit, dwell among us, give us words of fire and flame. Help our struggling voices praise you, glorify your holy name. Good Creator, Savior, Spirit, three in one word, mystery.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy One, you are the source of our lives and the life of this community of faith. Gather us now together, we pray. Form us into a holy community of your people. Mold us by the breath of your Spirit and reveal in this corporate body the face of your Son, the Christ. Let us be one with you and each other, that we might better witness to your desire for reconciling love and affection. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts, perhaps, with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors and recognizes the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This community of faith continues to be a generous community, generous in using the many gifts with which God has blessed us to be the church in the world. And so we thank you for continuing to make that happen through this body of Christ and this particular instance of the body of Christ. We have many ways for you to be involved in church life. One of those is going to happen today, following that abbreviated post-worship fellowship time, when we share together different perspectives about some of the possible interior projects to be taking up in a possible capital campaign. So we hope that you will share and give of yourselves and offer that today as a contribution to a good conversation about those decisions. And we also hope that you will continue to be generous with your money gifts. You have been so. And so during this time when we continue to be separate and we're not passing an offering plate, we just remind you that there are many ways that you can continue to send a money gift. One of those, of course, is to send a check to the church office. And the other is to go to our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org and use our secure giving portal to make a contribution online. In this hour of worship and on this day that we celebrate God's Spirit freely given, let us give freely of our substance and of ourselves in the service of the God of love. Let us pray. Oh God, your Spirit leads us to speak and to act and to give and to work with unprecedented commitment and energy, and so move through us. Move through us and this offering of our resources to accomplish your delivering and redemptive work in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 through 31. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. By the power of the Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. With all the recent changes in COVID-19 restrictions and more people getting vaccinated, and of course, plans taking shape to return to in-person worship in the not too distant future, I've been thinking about my return to another activity, commuting. Remember, I live in Cambridge and most of you live in the Natick area. So I will be commuting as I return to see you in person. Now, to be honest, I've kind of been missing commuting. I like to drive. And I also find that it is a nice and a natural kind of transition between work and home that I have come to really appreciate. And besides, I've always found ways to keep myself occupied while driving on my commute with radio and with recorded books and, of course, with reading. No, not reading books or anything like that, but something else. Bumper stickers. The variety amazes me, such as driving-related ones, like, sorry for driving so close in front of you, or forget about world peace, visualized using your turn signal. Or social commentary, like critical thinking, another national debt. Or political perspectives from, of course, every point of view, and those we all might agree with, such as a penny saved is a government oversight. Cause-based statements such as feminism, the radical notion that women are people. Or those that speak to life's absurdity, of course, such as honk if you love peace and quiet. Or philosophy, what if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about. And of course, theology. Lord, help me be the person my dog thinks that I am. Well, mostly these amuse me, and yet I often think of how such hit and run communication essentially keeps us disconnected, and it shows that we are often going our own way and are essentially divided. Well, Paul, of course, had divisions on his own mind in that reading that Rick read earlier from Corinthians. When he wrote to that Corinthian church, you know, talk about dysfunction. This fledgling church had opposing camps with different apostles, and they fought about whether superior knowledge would allow some people certain privileges. So in today's verses, Paul addresses a potential split in that church because some believe that their special gifts gave them a kind of special and elevated status. No, he says, you are one body with different members integrally bound to one another, unified. The problem is structural integrity doesn't guarantee unity. Take the central Vermont town that I used to live in, Waitsfield, which I mentioned last week. If you know the town of Waitsfield at all, you probably know about its single lane covered bridge dating to 1833, one of Vermont's oldest bridges of that kind. Well, some years ago, it was closed for repair. And when it reopened, many of us were deeply surprised to see stop signs now at each end of the bridge. You can see it here, one side of it, at least, in this screenshot that I took from this past week from the 24-hour dedicated webcam that's located there. I'm beginning to feel that webcam is probably there, not just for the tourists, but to keep an eye on what happens in that spot in terms of traffic. Anyway, up until those signs appeared, we used to take turns, maybe one, two, three cars going across at one time. But the new signs, when they came about, brought uncertainty. So you could come to a stop and follow along behind the vehicle in front, or only follow across either when it was clear or after one car had from the other side had crossed first. The result, well, the result was consternation and confusion. The truth is, however, we had problems before those signs showed up, epitomized by the two-car accident that damaged the bridge in the first place. And don't get me started about those Flatlander tourists trying to drive their RVs through that covered bridge. So we come from different directions and have different places to go. And though we've got structures of unity like bridges or churches, maybe, we don't always have a shared understanding of what it means to be united. So we are in danger then of polarization, like two cars on a single lane bridge, neither budging, collision possible, impasse certain, everyone's progress blocked. This is why Paul tells us what it really means to live as one body in the Spirit. Every part is needed. It couldn't be a body if it were only a single body part. No, there are many members and yet one body. And yet Paul argues further. He argues further for unity in diversity. The body needs these different body parts, he tells us, and all of the parts need one another. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you, he tells us. What he's trying to tell us, I think, is that diversity reigns. But for the body to function well, the various body parts must all be present and they all must work together. Puts me in mind of two cyclists taking a tandem bike up a long, steep hill, struggling to complete that climb. And finally they get to the top and the one in front turns to the other and says, boy, that sure was a hard climb. To which the one in back replies, yes. And if I hadn't put the brakes on all the way up, we certainly would have rolled down backwards. Paul's image of the church was radically countercultural for his day and also for ours, really. The Christian movement saw itself as the ecclesia. This is a Greek word that is often translated as church, but which literally means assembly. It was an alternative to the established city assembly. Greek and Roman society, they were absolutely obsessed with rank and with status. And Corinth was reputed to be one of the most competitive of cities. So this divisiveness that Paul sees in the Corinthian church, that concerns him. It concerns him because this assembly was beginning to look like the dominant imperial society, individualistic and self-centered and competitive, and it was supposed to be God's alternative. And so Paul tells them, God has so arranged the body that there may be no division, but the members may have the same care for one another. In short, he's reminding the Corinthians of their calling to cooperation, their calling to interdependence, their calling to mutual caring. Jewish theologian Martin Buber said that people basically treat each other as thous or as its. And it, he explains, is something that we are detached from, an object, something that might exist to serve our own needs. But thous are quite different. Thous have sacredness, having been made in God's image. Treating others as its creates separation and impersonal interactions, but treating them as thous allows for true relation. as thous, we honor the innate worth of another person, responding to them with empathy, true relationship, with care and with concern. And so it's the I-thou relationship that God, who created us in the divine image, wants us to have with others, the I-thou relationship. I often think about how this difference between those two things is also seen in the difference between dialogue and debate. Debate is competitive, naturally, but dialogue implies two sides working together to come to an understanding. We debate to win, but we dialogue in order to find common ground. Debate means entrenchment in one point of view, while dialogue means possibly changing our minds. Debate is about being right. Dialogue assumes that we actually might be wrong. And so it entails a willingness, perhaps, to change. The author of the book of James says, "With the tongue we bless God, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God." Unable to resist the temptations of a kind of bumper sticker style, hit and run mode of relating to other people, I know that one of my first instincts is to engage not in dialogue, but in debate, and thereby dishonoring the image of God in those who I might disagree with, treating them as its and not as thous. And so the question is, are we supposed to then just act nice and avoid conflict? Well, the answer is no. That's neither realistic nor is it healthy. Even the United Church of Christ admits that being united doesn't always mean harmony. The UCC has this saying that I've sometimes shared with you: in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, diversity, in all things, charity. So this principle holds diverse congregations together, but it also leaves them free to express themselves in their own ways. Disagreement, even conflict between or within our churches is not only allowed, but it's actually healthy. If, this is a big one, if our underlying mutual affection refuses to allow specific differences to divide us. Maintaining relationship then, of course, is key. We do that by holding firm to our convictions and yet being fully open to those of the other side and always, always aware of the divine image in the other. We're reminded on this Pentecost Sunday that our story is the story of the Spirit of God animating and binding together the body of Christ. Why? Well, it's so we can be up and about and carrying on Jesus' ministry in the world as that body. Being diverse with different perspectives and ideas is to be welcomed. Striving to be united, though not necessarily of one mind, is also important. So what I'm thinking about is the fact that in the coming year, we are going to have plenty of opportunity to hear about differences of opinion about things within our church that really matter to us. Whether that's how and when we return to in-person worship, or if we should have a capital campaign and what kind of interior projects should be completed through that campaign, or what's the future into which God is calling us and for which we need pastoral ministry. Whether it's any of those things, leaning into the Spirit is going to be critical to help hold us together in unity and in diversity, to privilege dialogue over debate, to seek discernment, aligning ourselves with the sense and the experience of God's Spirit moving in and empowering our lives and our church. The story is told of a man who wished to see the difference between heaven and hell before he died, and miraculously that wish is granted. And when he saw hell, he saw tables crowded with delicious food, but everyone there was hungry and angry. They had food, but they also were forced to sit several feet back from the table and to use 3-foot-long spoons that made it impossible for them to get food into their mouths. And when the man saw heaven, he was surprised to see that it looked the same. These big tables filled with delicious food and people forced to sit that far away from the table with these long 3-foot spoons that made it impossible for them to get food into their mouths. It was exactly like the vision of hell. But in heaven, the people are said to be well fed and happy. Why is that? Well, it's because in heaven, they are, of course, feeding one another. The beauty of the church is that in it, there exists the potential of not only glimpsing, but partaking of the banquet of heaven. God grant that we remember that we are bound together in Christ, the one who calls us to this feast, and that we continue to live as a united people. Different, sometimes disagreeing, but always, always knowing the one Spirit that motivates us and unites us, and never, ever giving in to division. May our loving God make it so. Amen. Beloved people, there are always so many places in our world where we could point to see division and difference. Of course, that has come into focus in over the last few weeks as we have looked at the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, now with a ceasefire that's holding for the present, and yet our awareness that lasting peace there is not yet born. So we pray together as we come into our morning prayer for those instances of division. I also want to lift up that last Pentecost Sunday, it happened to be May 31st of 2020, we were praying for the fact that we had crossed tragically the threshold of 100,000 dead from COVID-19. And of course, today we are at almost 600,000 U.S. dead and 3.4 million people who have died worldwide. So I want to lift up that fact and continue to hold in prayer all those persons and indeed the entire human community and the fact that coronavirus is yet to be halted in its spread. So we lift that up. Also reminding us that on Pentecost Sunday, we had prayed together following public attention being drawn to the killing of Ahmaud Arbery by civilians taking law into their own hands, and also of the killing of Breonna Taylor by police in Louisville earlier in the year. And then the recent killing then of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis. So we are coming up on the 1-year anniversary of George Floyd's murder. That will be on May 25th. And so I want to lift that up and offer prayer for our continued work to address white supremacy and racism and our will to be a part of dismantling structures of racism, which are oppressing those who should be counted in our human family and often are not. So we lift those things up this day, and I also turn to Wayne's Redder to let us know about other prayer concerns or celebrations that we lift up this day. Wayne.
Morning. Prayers go out to Bill Ladd's friend, Walt, who passed away this week from brain cancer. Lift up Walt's family and friends who mourn him and celebrate his shining in glory. Prayers for continued healing for Scott Serretter, who had successful back surgery last Monday and is recuperating at home. We pray for peace and love in the world. We pray for all the people who are seriously struggling with health issues, addictions, oppression by other people, or seclusion without a support system. We pray for the wise and compassionate individuals who are in positions of influence to make sure that no one is left in a compromising situations without receiving assistance. We ask for prayers of acceptance for one another and that our most basic human rights be respected. Lastly, prayers go out to Chuck Roberson, who continues to fight infection after surgery.
Thank you, Wayne, and I invite us all to be in a spirit of prayer together. Let us pray. Holy One, we glorify you today for the gift of and power of your Spirit. We recall with awe how your Spirit brooded over the primeval chaos and fashioned the world with all its wonders, and how you imprinted us with your own image. We praise you for the outpouring of your Spirit at the first Pentecost and for the birth of your church in power and unity. So we magnify your holy name for numberless, unspectacular Pentecost in the church's life through the centuries and in the lives of Christians who felt a surge of power when they needed it most, especially for witness in prison or in the arena, before a scoffing crowd or a lynch mob, speaking truth to power on behalf of the most vulnerable ones. We thank you. Thank you for your Spirit's awakening us from our delusions when we become smug or self-righteous or lazy or callous or holier than thou, and for the mirror of your Spirit in which we see ourselves not as others see us, but sometimes far more disturbingly as you see us. So gracious God, let this and every day be a Pentecost for us, renew our lives and renew your church. Inspire us to proclaim and embody the good news of your faithfulness and love and in new and effective ways, and help us to be united, seeking the common good, and yet drawing upon the wealth of our diversity. May we show a broken and divided world how it might yet build community and live in peace. We pray in the name of him to whom your Spirit bears witness, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
To dance with you, to leap.
Siblings in Christ, let us arise from this worship as a spirited people, powerful as the wind in doing God's will and energetic as fire in extending the love of God. And as we do, may the blessing of God, the Creator, Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Counselor, be upon us all. Go now, and the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.